the paper effect of resistance QTLs, QMI-C11 and QMI-C14 on melodygine and cognitive development in cotton. Batista De Salva, et al., University of Georgia.
You have a pointer?
What is your pointer here? Pointer right, advance. Where's your...
Okay, thank you. Hello, thank you everybody for coming here. My name is Michelle and I'm a third year PhD student at University of Georgia. So I'm going to present the effect of resistant QTL, C11 and 14 on melodygine and cognitive development in cotton. So we're going to start by the life cycle of southern root gnawing nematode, which is the number one problem here in US. And the egg hatches and releases the J2s. And the J2s penetrate inside of the roots, fighting and feeding site, and develop to another stage. The stages are swollen J2s, J3s, J4, and female. The timeline here is about 16 to 20 days. After that, a female is going to produce eggs, and it's going to take about 10 to 15 days. So the whole life cycle is about 30 to 40 days. And you can see here the gallings that the nematode can cause and the damage they can cause in cotton roots. Another problem we face with root knot nematode is the fusarium wilt and root knot nematode complex, and then together can cause a lot of damage to cotton. So the best way to control any resistance is through host resistance lines. And back in the time, Shepard, he crossed these two lines, Wild Max and Jack Jones, which we don't know the origin, we just know that came from Mexico. And Clevel Wilt 6, which is also fusarium wilt resistance. And both of them are moderately resistant to root gnawing nematode. These two were crossed and we got a very good source of resistance, which is Auburn 6-3. And this line is almost immune to root gnawing nematode. After that, he started crossing with other lines, and he got his Auburn 6-3-4, which is also has the resistant source and is almost immune to root gnawing nematode. And he kept crossing with other different lines, susceptible lines. And with this, he generated M lines, which many researchers have been working on to actually know what this genes or gene is doing in the plant and the nematode. We work with Coker 201, and is which he made across Coker 201 and Auburn 634, generate M120, and we work with M120 as being our resistance source. So previous research have been described some interesting things. Jenkins in 95, he worked with one of the M lines, and he found out that two events was happening during the nematode resistant the nematode development. One layer on between the passage of J2s and J3, so the nematodes could not actually go further on the reproduction. But the ones that did and got it to females started producing eggs, but the amount of eggs was less than the susceptible lines. Also, Shane in 2006 reported a resistance QTL on chromosome 11. He predicted that QTL was reducing galling on the plant. And later on, Gutierrez in 2010 reported a resistance and a QTL on chromosome 14. And other interesting things that these two QTLs he found out that came. One from Clever Wilt, which is 11, and another one came from Wild Mexican Jack Jones, which was 14. And he, in 2014, reported a epistatic event between these two QTLs, so they interact with each other, giving a better resistance of the M lines. And he also predicted that this 14 reduced egg production. With this event happening, epistatic event, it's very hard to study the QTL's effect the real effect of the QTLs. So our group decided to separate these QTLs in different genotypes. So we had a hypothesis of the resistance QTL on 11 and 14 have different mechanisms in conferring resistance to root non-nematode. So we developed the neoesogenic lines, which was across the M120 with the COCR201. Reminded that M120 is a progeny of COCR201 with Allborn 634. So we have like an isoline here. So when we cross those, you generate F1, and after we separate, generate F2 and get a segregated population. Once you get a segregated population, we select through markers the homozygous genotypes for 14 and for 11. So now we have 14 plants with just the 14 chromosome and plants with just the 11 chromosome. So with having those plants, we work with M120, which has both QTLs together, and the QTLs in separate genotypes, and the susceptible line COCR201. We work with 6 to 7 replicates per line and 8 different sampling dates. And we randomize by date, so we block by sampling date and randomize within the sampling date. So we also work with the SAS program, and we did one-way ANOVA. And we pre-germinated the seeds in vermiculite. After 2 weeks, we put it in this pot and inoculated with 4,000 juveniles. Once I have my plants growing, we select on those selected dates, we collected those roots, and we stain it with cotton blue. We mount it in a plate, and we count the developing stages of each sampling date. So here I have a timeline of 4 to 40 days of on my date that I collect my samples. And you can see here the trend of the nematode growth. And we started now with total number of nematodes, which is all the stages combined together. So here we have 4 and 8 days, we have no significant difference among the lines. And by day 12, here we saw that COCR and 14 start having more nematodes than the M120 and 11. And we saw that happen again on 25 and 30 day. For J2s, when you count J2s and swollen J2s, we observed that 4 and 8 days we didn't see much difference, so the penetration was the same about that point. Afterward, we saw swollen J2s and J2s having more on COCR and 14 than in M20 and 11. Then we saw again a peak going on the 40 days, which that means a new life cycle is beginning right there. So J2s are hatching from eggs and penetrating back in again to the roots. We also work with percentage, so we want to see how much of each stage is in the plant for each sampling date. Interestingly, we saw that by 25 and 30 days, almost 50% of the nematodes is still in stage J2s and swollen J2s. At this point, you expect to see females producing eggs. So M120 and 11, chromosome 11, has still J2s going on there. When you look at J3 and J4, we saw that chromosome 14 and COCR here has much more J3 and J4 than M120 and 11. You see that chromosome 14 is behaving like a susceptible line all the way through until this point. And M120 and 11 are the same as well. Then when you see the number of females, something starts happening. At this point, 20-25 days, you see 14 and COCR having the same amount of females. By this point, you don't see anymore. 30 days, you see that COCR2 starts still producing females while chromosome 14 stop producing females, and that goes on for 40 days as well. but still 14 has more females than 11 and 120. So then we start seeing the egg counts. So even though 14 has the same has more females than 11, you see here that they have the same amount of eggs, but 14 has less eggs than Cooker when it starts after 25 days, which we saw also on after 25 days reducing the number of females. So here another thing we counted was down numbers. We saw that 14 has higher number of gulls than 11, and but the same amount of gulls than Cooker, the susceptible line. And we also observe that they have different size, gall size for each of the genotypes. We see here that M120, you barely see gulls compared to the Cooker 201, which is, has a little bit like expanded gulls. And when you see the 11, the size is pretty much the same, but you have less gulls. And 14 has larger gulls than a susceptible line, and but has the same amount of gulls. So here you can see pretty well the epistatic event, seeing that it was mentioned before by other researchers that he saw. And you can see here visually, the higher, the larger or higher numbers, lower numbers and small gulls, and almost no gulls. So both combined give you a synergistic effect or epistatic event. And you can see here on your data too, on day 25, this happening as well. So our conclusions were that the NEIL with 11 locus and M120 with both QTLs have lower total numbers of melodogynic cognita in the root. And the NIL with 11 locus and M120 have reduced gall formation and progression of melodogyne beyond early developmental stages, consequently reducing egg production. And the NIL with 14 locus have normal root knot development until stage G4 to females, when they start to reduce the number of females and consequently reduce the number of eggs. So with this, we also have some working hypotheses for future research. We still have some questions to be answered. That's the NIL on 14 locus reduce egg production by reducing numbers of females and or by reduced egg per egg mass. So we still did not have the very clear this, what's actually reducing the eggs by the end for 14. And also we're gonna do this experiment on the pouches. We're going to collect and see the gall sizes on the pouch so we can actually track the galls and also collect the egg mass in the pouches as the method progresses. And also the neurogenic lines with the 11 locus, we're going to measure the galls, see if it actually reduced, but we're also going to see if that reduction happens through AGR mechanisms using microscopy. And with this, I acknowledge Dr. Richard Davis, that's my major professor, and Dr. Peng Chi, also my major professor, and the Plant Pathology Department, the PBGG Department, USDA, and COT Incorporated. Thank you.
Time for questions.
What do you think is going on with the 14? It looks like it's kind of starving them slowly over time.
Yeah, we're observing that until a certain point behaves like the susceptible line. Afterward, we have some genetic, with my work, also we had like some genetic data that's still not been released, but with that we're gonna answer this question, what's going on, but so far we still don't really can tell what 14 is doing, if it actually is reducing the number of females, that's the cause of reducing the number of eggs, or is because the female is actually producing less eggs per egg mass.
Why is it that it's such a dramatic reduction when you put the two genes together based on what you saw here?
Good question. We know that have interaction between these two genes, but we actually don't know yet why these two genes together is doing that, but we know they separately are doing what's the mechanism of separately what they are doing. But I would not say for sure why the interaction would reduce dramatically this number of eggs.
Have any speculation?
I don't have any speculation.
So the two genes are working on two different modes of action?
Yes, the two genes, yeah, one working in something different than another.
Yeah. Time for another question. Thank you very much.